This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared, word for word, in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life, brought to you by HICF Ministries.
And now, Brother Levis.
Good afternoon, church.
Good afternoon, sir.
Amen, amen. So, I just want to take this opportunity to thank the leadership for the opportunity to share the Word on a Sunday. It could be anyone, really. So I'm not taking this for granted. So thank you so much, Dad. And so if I'm allowed, I will just maybe clarify on the announcements too. Next Sunday, it will be induction service. So for those who have been called to serve in different departments, next week will be induction service. It's not like a probation, but it's an induction service. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor George, for praying. For me as well, and for the congregation. So, can my screen be seen?
Yes.
Amen. So, one of the things that the Lord just laid on my heart, there are so many things that the pastor, our father, has been sharing over the past weeks, and they have really been a blessing. Also, brothers and sisters have been sharing so much during the midweek service as well, and I believe the Lord wants us to really sink in and to really soak on what He's communicating to the church, or He's communicating to us as children in the house of the Lord. And today's message, as it was impressed strongly on my heart to share with us, and I pray even as I'm going to be sharing that the Spirit of the Lord will also minister to me, because the Word of God is a sword, it's a double-edged sword. So as I'm going to be speaking, I believe even as I'm going to be sharing, the Word is also going to be confronting me as well. Amen. So the message of today is relationship with the Lord in stewardship. Relationship with the Lord in stewardship. Now, if you look at this title, there are many things that can come to mind. And one of them is, there are two. One is relationship and the other one is stewardship. And we're going to see from the Word of God, and to really understand or to be reminded of what these two terms really mean. And also we're going to look at it from a practical aspect as well, because everything that comes from the Word, of course, has a practical, something that we can apply, something that we can act upon. Amen. So first, I will look into the terms which is relationship and then stewardship. Now, if you look at the meaning of relationship from the dictionary, it means it's a connection, it's a bond, it's a way two or more people or groups or things are connected and interact with each other. And from this definition of relationship, there are key terms. These are what they are, the key terms that really define what a relationship is all about. One is connection, and number two, and the other is bond, interaction. Okay, each other means it's not one-sided. It's both or two sides or two people or two sides of a relationship are interacting with each other. So it's not one-sided. There is something that is going on. There's something that is coming from one side to the other, and you know, the other way around. And I look from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, from the scriptures to really understand the definition of a relationship. Amen. Because God is the foundation for relationship. God is the one who founded relationships. Every other relationship that is built outside God, you know. Genesis 1, 26, the Bible says, "In God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." The first thing that God gave to man wasn't a vision, or wasn't a work to do. God gave man his image. Amen. He would function like God. And this was a point of bond. It was a point of connection. Whenever we come to China, and we have been encouraged even by the church to, you know, join, to have these intercultural groups where we can share with each other, there is a bond. There is a reason why we come together. Maybe you're from the same country, you know, and all that. So that is the point of connection, point of bond. The moment God created man, there was already a point of connection between God and man, which means God created man his own. When God was creating other things, he was speaking to the ground, he was speaking to the air, he was speaking to the water, and, you know. But when God was about to create man, God spoke to himself. Amen. That was the point of bond, connection between God and man. Now, Isaiah 1 verse 18 says, come now, let us reason together. You know, God is sovereign. God would have just said, you know, this is what I'm to do and I'll do it. But God is calling and saying, come, let us reason together. This is relationship. It's not one-sided. There's a part that God plays and there's a part that we have to play. It's not one-sided, even as the definition says. And there is communication. There is interaction. There's a place for interaction. That's what relationships are all about. Revelation 3 verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Okay, this is Jesus saying, I stand at the door and knock. If there was not a person who will open on the other side, God will not enter. The same way God, in as much as he desires to have intimacy, intimate relationship with us, it's not going to be only him desiring it. It has to be something that we also want with the Lord. Amen. The day that you skip your devotion or the daily devotion or the time that you spend time with God, the Lord was there waiting. The Lord has been there waiting for you all this time. It's like the prodigal son. When the prodigal son went out, the father was always waiting for him to come back. He was excited, looking forward to the day that the son would come back. Some of us maybe have left, you know, that place of intimacy. Maybe there are things that you used to do with the Lord, but somehow along the line, things began to happen and you lost that, you know, that aspect of intimacy with the Lord. God is more than willing to rebuild that back. And we're going to see that even as we're going to go through the word of God today. Amen. As the foundation. Again, the title of the message is Relationship with the Lord in Stewardship. So we have spoken, we have covered on the part of relationship, and we have seen that there is communication, there is a bond, it's not one-sided. Amen. It's two-sided. There's a part that this part has to play. It says, Revelation 3:20 says, I will come in him and sup with him, and he with me. You know, HFF fellowship did not begin with us. It began in the scriptures. You see that one of the ways that you can really interact with people is when you eat with them. And the Lord Jesus, you know, say, if you open the door, I stand at the door and knock. He's waiting. Because standing means you're waiting. He's waiting. And he says, and I knock. If any man hear my voice, and the call is to anyone, whether you're from, whether you became born again yesterday, whether you've been in the Lord for many years, whether you have been, whatever situation, it says, any man, if any man hear my voice, could it be that this is the voice of God for you today? Could it be that that brother or that sister is speaking to me, could it be that is the voice of the Lord for you in this season, that God is calling you back to intimacy with him? Amen. And open the door. I'll come to him and sup with him and he with me. So that covers the first part of relationship, you know, being reminded or understanding the aspect of relationship. Amen. And when it comes to stewardship, okay, I just got a definition from the dictionary. Stewardship means careful, responsible management, care or control of something entrusted to one's trust. Amen. And the key terms again is careful, responsible. There is an aspect of responsibility. There's an aspect of management. There's an aspect of care, trust. It is something that you are trusted, you are entrusted, I'm entrusted. Oh, we are entrusted. Glory to God. We are entrusted. The issue is, what can God trust you? What has God entrusted in your hands? What has God committed in our hands? What has God committed in my hands? Amen. And I read from the book of Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 22, verse 5. It says, "But be very careful to keep the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. To love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, to keep His commands, to hold fast to Him, and to serve Him with all your heart." With all your heart. We can understand that care, carefulness, the diligence that is being spoken about, even from the term itself of stewardship, it is something that will have to engage your heart. I like what Paul says, and I really like this scripture a lot in the book of, you know, Romans chapter 1, verse 7. It says, Paul says, "The Lord whom I serve with my spirit." What we do, or what we do in service, because stewardship also can also be synonymous to the word service, because stewardship involves service or servanthood. And we see that Paul says, "The Lord whom I serve with my spirit." Stewardship begins from our spirit, from our hearts. And Joshua chapter 2, 22, verse 5, the Bible says that you shall serve Him with all of your heart, with all your soul. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, chapter 3, 23, 24, it also says, "Whatever you do, work it at it with all your heart." And one of the things the Lord just laid in my head when I was preparing, it was a reminder that stewardship goes beyond the four walls of the church. In fact, when God speaks about stewardship, He talks about commitment, something that has been trusted to you. People who are in the corporate world, people who are in offices, people who are working at the bank, people who are working at the government. This, as a Christian, we ought to view these places of where we are given an opportunity to serve as an entrustment by God Himself. Amen. It is the will of the Lord. You know, sometimes you go to the bank and maybe something doesn't go well. We are always upset, like, "Oh, I went to the bank. Oh, I'm trying to process this document at the government, and they are taking so much time." And the ones who are working in the government, they are Christians who are there. You know? And maybe you go to the bank and you're not happy with how they serve you, and you're not happy. Is it God's will that you should not be served well? Of course not. Of course not. But why is it that as Christians, when we are found, when we're entrusted with such responsibility, we always feel like, "Oh, this place now is not good because I'm not ushering." That place that we're called to serve, maybe it's an ushering department, whatever place we're called to serve, but beyond just what we do in church, in the cell groups, which is also a key, that's part of also stewardship. See, God is calling us that we should, that should come from a point of working it out with all your heart, even as we've been reminded for the past few weeks. Amen. And another thing that when I was looking at the aspect of relationship, it reminded me about the foundation of what Christianity is all about. What Christianity is all about. Because Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. The relationship we have with your father or with our father, your biological father, is that a religion? The relationship that you have with your mom or with your guardian, for that matter, can you call it a religion? Of course it's not a religion. Right, so Christianity is in itself is not a religion, it's a relationship, and the atmosphere that is produced by that relationship. Every relationship comes with an atmosphere. Every relationship comes with an atmosphere. Everything, every time you interact with someone, I've had people say that I'm from Ghana, but actually I'm not from Ghana. But I would say maybe because of the brothers and sisters who I interact with at church or at school, probably out of that, I may look like someone from here. Or someone may say, "Okay, this sister looks like someone from," but the person, like someone from Zimbabwe or South Africa, but the person maybe is from Rwanda or from Nigeria. But because of that interaction, because of that interaction that the person has had with people from that country, the person may look as if he's from that country or she's from that country. So every relationship produces an atmosphere. John chapter 1, the Bible speaks of, says, those who believed him, they became the children of God. Those who received him, who believed in his name. That's a relationship. This is became, they became the children of God, or they became, in other verses, will say, he gave them the power to become sons of God. That is relationship. And even the things that we, that sometimes Christians would try to, you know, work at, these things like patience, kindness, this is the fruit of the Spirit. I like the Bible in the book of Galatians 5:22 says, by the fruit of the Spirit. It never says the fruits of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit. This is a product of that comes out of relationship and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. By default, as we interact, as we fellowship with the Holy Spirit, these things will begin to be seen in us effortlessly out of the interaction we have. They are, you know, someone who has had an interaction, intimacy with the Word of God, by default, you begin to see the Word of God not only coming out of his mouth, but you begin to see even the very atmosphere, the very presence that the person carries comes with the Word of God. I've had so many interactions. You know, it's the church is a place where we learn a lot from each other. Where you meet a brother, you meet a sister, you are amazed. You're like, wow, this person is really, really, really founded on the Word of God. Because it's not about word. That's why I like it says, building each other in word and action. That's the vision of HSF. So it's not just about action. It's about when now the word or the scriptures just ceased to become mere scriptures. It has become a person, because we can only relate with person, with a person, with the person of God. Amen. This is what Christianity is all about. And this is the relationship that we are to build on when it comes to stewardship. Amen. Amen. I believe we are together. Now, I'm going to ask a question. It's a question, but this is something I just, it's a picture that I just drew. I believe it will help us understand even more, even what the Lord is communicating to us today. Amen. Relationship versus stewardship. What comes first? Relationship versus stewardship. You can just type it in the chat box, what you think. And in terms of what, okay, if you look at this diagram, when I say first, I mean the one that starts, that is at the bottom. What should be the bottom? Is it stewardship? Is it your service to the Lord? Is it your relationship with the Lord? Because these all avenues that I have mentioned earlier, when it comes to stewardship, what has been committed to you, these are avenues that the Lord gives us opportunity to serve him, right? So what comes? Is it stewardship? Is it relationship? Okay. But one thing is clear. If one overloads the other, the one will be crushed. Amen. Okay, I'm looking at the chat box. Okay. Relationship. Okay. Stewardship builds on relationship. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor George. Stewardship builds on relationship. I got to understand that relationship with the Lord, the Bible speaks of, in the book of, I think, 1 John, says, and the anointing, the unction of the Holy One that lives in you, teaches you of all things. And Acts chapter 1 speaks about the anointing that is coming, that comes upon someone for service, right? There is the grace of God that comes on someone for service. And there is the anointing that of the Holy Spirit inside the person that sustains the person to grow in the Lord. Now, as we have rightly saying, that stewardship is built on relationship. I'm a good student of, you know, trying to see and trying to learn from people and reading and seeing different, you know, men and women of God, the lessons they learned, the mistakes they did, and all that. And one of the things I learned is that whenever this place of growth this place of intimacy is overloaded, like is overloaded with stewardship, the whole building comes down and crashes. Okay, because the relationship with the Lord is to sustain stewardship. Relationship with the Lord is to sustain stewardship. Without having a deep and intimate relationship with the Lord, it's difficult to sustain and to walk in faithfulness or faithful stewardship. All right. I'm going to go to the next slide. Which one is easily noticed by people around us? Okay, this is another question. Is it relationship? Can you determine easily? Okay, I know there are things that we can look and say, okay, but can we see easily the status of the relationship with the Lord that someone has? Which one is easy? Is it the status of the relationship that someone has with the Lord, or is it stewardship? Which one is easy to be noticed by people? Which one can we say, oh, all right, I can tell that this person is not having a good relationship with the Lord? Or is it easier to say, oh, well, this person is, you know, I can see him or I can see a servant. Which one is easily noticed by people? Okay, stewardship. Okay, I see. Okay, I've seen 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's keep it coming. I think like a few people are commenting in the chat box. And so it's right. And rightly so. It's easy to notice stewardship than when you can notice that someone's relationship with the Lord is not okay. And sometimes these are the people that die quietly in the church. I repeat, people can die. Okay, there's a man of God who says, quiet Christians die quietly. Stewardship is easily noticed by people than when someone's intimacy with the Lord or fellowship or relationship with the Lord is being affected. Amen. So, and this has been something that has been a challenge for many people, including myself. Sometimes we are serving and we're in stewardship to the point we even forget the Lord. You know, we are focused on the harvest and we forget the Lord of the harvest. Amen. And whenever Jesus Christ was speaking to the disciples to send them forth, he told them to pray to the Lord of the harvest, to have communion, to have communication with the Lord of the harvest. This is the Lord that is sending you without having to know what his heartbeat is saying. It's hard for us to know where we're going. It is hard for us to... Anyways, we're going to see that there's so many... I just pray that I keep the time. Amen. Beware of end time deception. The Bible speaks about the end of times, and we're in the last days. Okay, we're in the last days, definitely, according to Scripture. And one of the things that the Bible characterizes the end of days is that people will be lovers of themselves. People will care about what they appear in front of people. People will be caring, and this is what we see on social media. People are snapping pictures just to show. It's like eye service, you know, that I'm part of this, I'm part of that, I'm part of this ministry, I'm part of that department, I'm part of the choir, I'm part of prayer team, you know, and all these things. Now, one of the things I would like to also say that the Lord was putting in my heart is the deception begins with one deceiving oneself before being deceived. When we reject the word of God, when we reject the truth of the word of God, we are susceptible to being deceived or to deceive oneself. Amen. The Bible says he that hears the word of God and does not do it, he deceives himself. Because the truth of the word of God has a way when someone hears it and acts on it. That's when the truth of the word of God, the light of God's word, begins to come into that person's life. The Bible says the entrance of that word gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. So light exposes deception. Amen. And I would like to give a quote which I usually like to use a lot. We are deceived because we want to be deceived. Matthew 7:22-23, the Bible says, many shall come in my name. Oh, we did this in your name. Oh, we did that in your name. Oh, we saved. Oh, we gave tithe and offering. We gave into your work. Lord, we did all these things. And then God says, I do not know you. Ah. The issue is, yes, you know the Lord, but then does the Lord know you? That is the question at the end of the day. Yes, you know Jesus, but does Jesus know you? Does Jesus know you? Because many know about Jesus, but does the Lord know you? And God is talking about knowing you, not from a point of course, God is all-knowing, but God knows everything, God knows everyone. God knows what's happening in hell right now. God sees people who are going to hell, people who are going to hell, right? God sees, because God spoke about it. If you read in the book, in the Gospels, Jesus spoke about the man who was the rich man and Lazarus. God is aware of everything. But what kind of knowing does Jesus talk about in this scripture? He's talking about knowing us from a point of intimacy. And he says, depart from me, workers of iniquity. Iniquity is something which is of the heart. And it brings to mind that it says, the Bible says, cursed be a man who puts his trust in man, and his heart has departed from the Lord. Before one begins to trust in man, his heart must have departed from the Lord. Because this intimacy is a heart-to-heart kind of thing. And I'll give another example. All right, okay. We're going to the priority. And you can look at the parable of the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. Talking about the oil, the extra oil. I think Brother Joel spoke of it one time. Extra oil. But as I look at this scripture and relating it to Matthew 7:22-23, from my understanding, I also think that the oil here can also represent intimacy and fellowship with the Lord. Yes, you have relationship. Yes, you're a virgin, because virginity means that you belong to God. What about intimacy? Intimacy. Fellowship with the Lord. Because it is very easy for someone to be fall into the routine. Or that, oh, it's just my job. Oh, you forgot that the one who placed you in that office in the first place. Amen.
Amen.
The priority of relationship, the priority of relationship. This is what Pastor Joe said in the chat box. I think Pastor Joe was preaching what I was going to say. The foundation for stewardship. In the beginning, what was the beginning? Let's go back to the beginnings, the book of the beginnings. How was it? How was it at the beginning? What was God's, Jesus spoke about, I think he was answering a question about divorces. It was not so in the beginning. But because of the hardness of your heart, but let's see, how was it from the beginning? In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26-27, did God create man just so that he can worship him? What? Yeah, angels worship him. Yeah. Did God create man so that he can feel more God? He can become more God. Without man, then God is not God. God is God without man. And some of us, we feel like when things don't go right in our way, we want to protest against God. God will still remain God whether we worship him or not. God is still going to be God. God is going to still remain to be God. Whether we worship him or not, whether we come to church or not, God is still God. It says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. God gave something to man as a point of connection. And you begin to see, even after the fall, God was still after fellowship, relationship. Imagine God says in the book of, Genesis 3 verse 8, I'll go quickly because of time. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. Now, how does the voice of the Lord God walk? I cannot explain, but one thing I do know is that God was relating to us. How can the voice, the God who's everywhere, how can he walk? Jesus came to come as a child. Why? Relationship. To relate. Because relationship means relate. How do you relate to someone? How do you relate? Sometimes we go in the marketplace, we go to someone. I'm giving an example. Dad is a doctor, and sometimes he comes in ways, meet with normal people, relationship, relating with people. You are his leader, and you can't even relate with people. Okay. Now, I'll read from verse 9. And the Lord called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? Oh, I'll just simply say, Where are you? Did God not know where Adam was? Question. Did God not know where Adam was? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told you that you were naked? It's like God was pushing a conversation. Let's communicate. Let's talk. God knew what Adam and Eve did before he would ask them. God is saying, let's talk about it. Sometimes I speak to certain individuals, and they would say something like, it felt like God is not going to forgive me. It's like I failed God. God is saying, come, let's talk about it. Relationship. And you see later on, Eve is bringing all these excuses and all that. Let's talk about it. Yes, it has happened. But let's come and talk about it. God was after relationship, fellowship, intimacy. Maybe someone is here and you're saying to yourself, I will never, it's like, oh, those days I used to pray a lot, all those days I used to fast a lot, nowadays I don't have fast. God is saying, let's talk about it. Is my hand too short to deliver? He asked them, who told you that you're naked? But the question today can be, who told you that you cannot be restored? Who deceived you? Because the enemy uses the same tricks as used in the book of Genesis. Who lied to you that God cannot restore you? God cannot bring you back to the place where you were. Even the Bible says the latter glory of this house. And God, what is the house of the Lord? You are the house of the Lord. I am the house of the Lord. We are the house of the Lord. The glory, the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. But God is calling us to intimacy. Why are you running away? There's a meme that says, why are you running? Why are you running away? Can you run away from God? Ask Jonah. Can you run away from God? How fast can you run to run away from God? How fast can you run away? How fast can you run? Jeremiah 3:15 speaks about the man after my own heart. 1 Samuel 3:14 speaks about, says, I've sought a God seeking. You know, the word seeking, it means you diligently find, you scrutinize, you open places. When you are seeking something that is lost, you take your broom, you sweep under the table, sweep under the bed. You know, in Africa, mothers usually keep birth certificate. You ask your mom for your birth certificate, and she will go in places. she'll open the bed, and you'll find she kept all things there inside. Mothers keep, I think it's the nature of women to keep things too. You know, like the way, you know, it's interesting. They would put things, and they will seek and they'll find it. It says God. One of the things that really amazed me in the scripture is what was written in the book of Chronicles. It says, I sought for a man to stand in the gap, and I never... Hey, you mean God sought for a man? Like he sought for a man. He did not find anyone. But here we see that God is looking for a man after his own heart. Man who is intimate with him. And the Lord has called, says the Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord commanded him to be, before being commanded to be captain over his people. Because captain here is also means to lead his people, right? To captain. It's the same word as the word used in the scriptures as prince. Some have trusted in princes, government. So, and people are still trusting in government. The Bible would not say that we should not pray for the girl. The Bible says in the book of Timothy that we should pray. Pray for those who are in authority, pray for kings. But our trust, we trust in the Lord. One of the things that I this is just my own understanding. There will be no government of human beings that will be able to do everything that is supposed to be done. So our trust should be in the Lord. You go in the place of court. Can you get justice there? How many people go to the court and don't get justice? It says, before given stewardship over his people, because this was stewardship, the heart. And as we go through along the stewardship, we forget this aspect of the heart. The heart. Psalm 63 verse 1. Oh God, this is David saying. Now, the reflection of what it means to be after my own heart. This is a man after God, after God's own heart speaking. He says, oh God, you are my God. Eli. Eli means priority. The first thing that you seek. It says, Eli, will I seek thee? That is for my understanding here. Eli, will I seek thee? My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh. How many of us are in a relationship? You miss that brother. There are times you are there and you are thinking about him or thinking about that lady, that sister, that groomer. This, you know, you are thinking. Amen. Have you ever missed the Lord? See, oh. Some of us, let's say you travel for work or for business and you want to come back home. You want to come back home. And God has always been waiting. God is always waiting. Still on the priority of relationship. That was, we see it in the book of, in the life of David. We have also seen it in the book of Genesis. Now in the life of Jesus, Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. The term used there is not God, it's Father. Father-Son relationship. Whatever I see my Father do, that's what I do. Whatever that you want to do in this season as a leader, as a steward, have you seen the Father do it? Have you seen the Father do it? Have you seen the Lord do it? Stewardship becomes burdensome whenever we lose, or whenever we miss, whenever we overlook the aspect of fellowship and relationship with the Father. Because really, the Bible says that in the book of John, it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Does it really mean you can do nothing? Don't people do things? Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Anything that is impactful, that has eternal value, you have to be connected. You cannot expect to produce food without being connected with the Father, without fellowship with the Father, without drawing from him. Because we draw from him. If you look, you studied about the plants, you realize that the branches, they draw nutrients from the roots, from the main from the main, is it stem? Okay, I'm not a botanist, but I did some biology. You draw from him. Why should you expect yourself to produce fruit in your stewardship without being connected to the Father? In the same sense, if you continue in my word, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, being in each other, because intimacy, I think I was talking to a sister, I think she was saying that intimacy is into me. You be in me and I in you. That is intimacy. That is relationship. True said, I'm in you, you are in me. That's why. Now, we see this actively in the life of Jesus. In Mark 1, verse 5, says, now in the morning, we go back to Psalms, early will I seek thee. Priority. Of course, morning before anything. Does it mean that if you only pray in the morning, what if you can pray any time? But the point is that it's being given here, I believe the Spirit of God is communicating, is the sense of priority. What comes to mind? Sometimes some of us here, the last thing we do before we sleep is being on Instagram and TikTok. So if you're connected to Instagram and TikTok, you produce Instagram and TikTok kind of life. It will go like this. Or the first thing you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is to jump on your work. Okay. Having risen a long while before that, he went out in the quiet, such a solitary place, and there he prayed. He communed with the Father. What was Jesus saying in those times of prayer? What was Jesus saying? In Matthew 6:9, says, our Father. The first thing that he says, when he was asked how to pray, the first thing that Jesus mentioned was, our Father. Our Father. That was the first thing. Before coming down to give us this day our daily bread, before coming to, oh, forgive us, before, the first thing was our Father. What? Who do you think God is? Who do you think God is? Is our Father. Our Father. That was the first thing. First thing that is mentioned. And our Father in that prayer, we call the Lord's Prayer, is a pattern, is a way things are supposed to be. Our Father, first thing, before kingdom come, before that calling, before fulfilling of your calling, before fulfilling of your purpose, our Father, relationship, our Father in heaven. Serving the Lord versus serving with the Lord. Sorry for the typo. Serving the Lord and serving with the Lord. Acts 10 verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power, because God was with him. Genesis speaks about Enoch, who walked with God for 300 years and he was not. Speaks of Noah, who walked with God in his generation because he found favor with God, found grace with God. These are types of, and if you look at them, Enoch, the Bible says that he was not because the Lord took him. Now, he talks about, of course, that's a typology of the rapture of the church. So the people that are going to be walking with the Lord, and the Bible speaks of, can two walk together except these? They agree. Relationship. Again, that's why the Bible says, speaks of the ministry of reconciliation. Because reconciliation means they agree. Agreement. Agreement. Can two walk together except they have agreed? As we are serving the Lord, as we are called to stewardship, are we walking with the Lord? With Him? Okay. What are vital things for building intimacy in relationships? You can just type it in the chat box. I was going to ask people to just type, what do you think are the most important things in building intimacy in relationships? Yeah, let's be practical. Let's see, some of us are in relationship. Some of us are in relationships. I believe many people, we're in a church where a lot of young people, honesty, communication, all right, I see love, commitment, trust, communication, trust, okay, communication. Yeah, there's a person who tells me, I don't like when someone doesn't communicate with me. Ah, sisters, you did not tell me. Time, transparency. Thank you so much, Pastor George. Transparency. There was a time I was praying, when I used to be a cell group leader. I used to go in one of the classes in school to pray, and I used to pray for my, and there are a lot of things that God gave. Can God give you a burden? There are things that God put in, you know, there are things that when you spend time with God, God will tell you, this thing is troubling me. This thing is, and God will give you that burden. This is the practical way. It's consistency. Thank you. God will give you a burden in your heart, something that is, you know. So I was praying for these things and praying for. And then one night, the Holy Spirit asked me, while I was praying, how was your day? Because the first thing that I'll pray, then I'll start, you know, speaking about other people, saying, God, that's the only place you can gossip, according to that. So don't come after me. The only place that you can gossip is in the place of prayer. Okay? Amen. All right. So simplicity, discernment. I'm going to go quickly because of time. How to build intimacy. Of course, communication. And you can see the analogy, parallelism, communication, quality time. What human relationships and what to do with the Lord. Vulnerability, honesty. It's not always, oh God, no, there are times you miss it. You go to God and say, I missed this part. I missed it, Lord. Forgive me. I missed it. Vulnerability. Sister, so there's a person who tells me, I love when a guy is vulnerable. Honesty. Quality time. Some of us like to rush in the place of prayer. I don't know. I feel like we get to pray, we pray. And as we're praying, and then you're done. Maybe you said you were praying for an hour. I'm not a person. I used to think, you know, sometimes these workshops we have, people should really, really come. There was a time I think Mom was sharing about in the prayer ministry retreat, and somebody asked about the amount of time. Oh, I think people should pray for at least an hour or 2 hours. If you're going to talk to a bloomer, do you put a stopwatch and say, you know what, we have 30 minutes, so okay. Is that intimacy? So it's not about the issue of the length of time you spend. It's about the quality of time. One can spend five minutes and it can be the best. One can spend an hour. In HICF, we only have 2 hours for service. Some of us ask, why don't we have more time for worship, praise and worship? Why could we 4 hours? You know, back home in our church, we spend 2 hours can be enough. 1 hour can be enough. 30 minutes can be enough. And some of us, we get in the personal time, we rush God. We rush God. And sometimes sometimes we even feel in the spirit like, no, don't leave. But because, I have to rush somewhere. Since you have been rushing, what has changed in your life? Since you have been rushing like this, like prayer, like you have been rushing prayer, like what has changed? You have been rushing, you are running towards it. Amen. Trust and obedience, faithfulness. There's a sister, a certain woman of God said, one of the things that I see that's a deal breaker in my life, whenever I see a brother, I will just end the relationship. He's when a brother cheats on me. But how many times have you cheated on God? How many times have we cheated on God? Or cheated God? Lied. Some of us, I don't like guys who lie. How many times have you lied to God? Okay, that's a question. No, we can answer that question. Learning the other's heart. Oh, you don't love my love. Do you know God's love language? Oh, this brother does not know my love language. What is God's love language? According to the scripture, what is God's love language? Oh, you know, he does not know me. She can't even know what I want. Yeah? He's supposed to know. Sisters want brothers to know what's in their heads before they speak. Like, you should come into my head and know that in this time I need flowers. I don't need coffee. I need flowers. What is God's love language? I will help. What, for my understanding of the Bible, says, if you love me, give my commands. That's what the Bible says. If you love, give my commands. All right. Okay. I'm done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm done. Signs, there are things that I think God was, I was just led to put it out there. There are lists that Dad gave me in the church, I think, about 6 years ago. I have that list. Okay, it was talking about lukewarmness. One of the things, what are the things that you see? It's like a doctor, it's like a diagnosis. Diagnosis. When you see these things, please, it's time to go back to your secret place. It's time to go back to the secret place. It's time to go back. Signs in stewardship that indicate an earthly status of your relationship and intimacy with the Lord. As we are serving, what are the things that we can see and say, this is like that beep in the hospital. Beep, 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 beep. You need a resuscitation. You need you need some CPR, you know, to bring you back. One of the things I'll just mention, number one, these are the few things I believe maybe Dad will add more, but these are the things which I just found. Tight-fisted control. This is about financial stewardship. You hold your money and panic over financial loss, showing a deep lack of trust in God as your provider. It can mean that intimacy has been affected. Transactional giving. You give money or resources only when you expect a direct reward or blessing from God in return. HSF says we give not with a view. Of course, there's a law of seed sowing and reaping. It's there. But as we give, we give from a point of, you know, you are out of there, from your heart, because you love the Lord. This is your father. This is your best friend. How do you feel when you give it, when you buy chocolate from them? You feel nice. You feel good. Men understand this feeling when you buy something for someone. You feel nice. You feel good. It comes freely, and sister, it's not just the brothers who are supposed to, even sister should also do. You buy something, a gift, you feel nice. Okay, zero quiet money. You feel every waking hour with task and entertainment. Leaving no unhurried time to simply sit in the presence of God. Entertainment means enter. Something enters you. Anyways, resentment in waiting. You feel annoyed or impatient when God interrupts your daily plans or asks you to wait on His timing. You feel annoyed. You feel impatient. When things don't go the way we want, we feel upset. Have you heard the heartbeat of God? Have you sensed the heartbeat of God concerning the issue? What is God saying in that pause, in that waiting period? What is the heartbeat of God? Performance-driven routine. You read the Bible or pray merely to check a religious box rather than to connect with the person of Jesus. You know yourself here. So I can say I did my devotion today. Oh, I pray. You know, I pray a lot. Prayer ministry. I prayed for 2 hours. I went 6 hours. Man of God. Sometimes We meet brothers, be like, so how many hours have you gone? You're not serious. Ministry burnout, you serve in your church out of guilt, pressure, or need for approval rather than spiritual overflow. Ministry does not begin with a love for people, but ministry begins with a love for God, and the love we have for God overflows to people. That's what I've learned in ministry so far. Pride in gifting. You view your natural talents or skills as your own achievement rather than gifts meant to point people back to God. You can play that keyboard, my brother. The day that you don't come for practice, you feel like they won't do anything. The way you know how, you feel as if you, without you in that particular department, that department cannot thrive. That ministry cannot thrive. Like for me, the way I know how to do hospitality, no one can take over. Pride in gifting could be a sign that your intimacy with the Lord is being affected. And pride in gifting can happen that if another person who can do it better comes up, you feel bad. That, oh no, now I'm irrepressible. You feel bad, you feel angry. It could be a sign. Joyless duty. I think the man of God always speaks about joy in service. You obey God's commands and fulfill his responsibilities with a complaining spirit instead of a willing heart. It could be a sign. Amen. So that's the end of the message for today. And I would like for us to pray. Maybe there's someone here who you felt that you have not been in intimacy with the Lord. It has just been about routine. You show up at church because you don't want someone to call you. You don't want ladies to call you and ask you why you don't come to church. You know, you come to church because you don't want mom to ask you like, how are you doing? You are just coming to fulfill a schedule. And that has been happening for long. I want us to pray. God restore us. Maybe you're even going to, you're going to be inducted next week, right? And this aspect that you wanna really go back to the place of intimacy with the Lord. I want us to pray. And I believe that will also pray for us. I want us to pray and say, Lord, maybe I've been bitter. There are things that have been happening in my life I don't understand. And that has really made me go away from the place of intimacy. Forgive me. God is knocking. The Lord Jesus is knocking at the door, calling, saying, if you open your heart, I will come and dine with you. Let's pray. That it will not just be about, it's a relationship. Christianity is a relationship. It's a relationship with the Father. As we are serving, whatever God has called you, maybe in the business area, you have been doing business just from the intellect. You have not been doing business from the place of the stricken place, not from the place of intimacy with the Lord. What does God want you to do in the business area? In whatever, in the academia, what is God calling you to do in that area? Stewardship. Is it coming from the place of intimacy with the Lord? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this afternoon. As you've spoken to us, Lord, some of us have left the place of intimacy and we have just walked in religion. We have been joyless. We have not been joyful in our stewardship because of that. We pray that you may restore our hearts, O Lord. Forgive us, O God, who are sometimes being bitter when things don't go well because we left that place of intimacy with you. Have mercy on us and restore us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for the time, and thank you so much, Dad, for the opportunity to serve. Amen.